Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Lawrence Holmes of The Lawrence Holmes Show. From noon until 2, this hour is being brought to you by CarX Tire and Auto, online at CarX.com. Ray, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
Check out this quote from Miles Straw, the outfielder for Cleveland. There's a different approach that Cleveland is using, and they are trying to see more pitches, to try and have a more democratic offense. He said, quote, "We're not the Yankees. We don't go out there and hit three-run bombs all the time. We have to hit our doubles, our singles. We steal bases. We'll go first to third. It's our brand of baseball," close quote. They like to annoy the other team. They want to see a lot of pitches, and when they get on base, they want to try and bother you there. Something to watch for in this series against the White Sox that starts tonight over on the South Side.
Called strike three. Cleveland has pulled off a shocking comeback. 6 runs in the 9th inning. Josh Naylor surges Cleveland to a victory and just wipes away 6 in a row for the White Sox.
Make me a bicycle clown.
Oh, the bicycles are going to get made today. A whole fleet of them damn bicycles are going to get made today. Here we go. Bass drop. Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and I'm here with you until 2 o'clock. On the docket today is us talking about your Chicago White Sox. A brutal, brutal loss last night over on the South Side. 12-9 after leading the game in the 9th inning, 8-2. It's pretty crazy what ended up happening. So we're gonna do it old school today. Think of it as a Bears Monday, but with the White Sox and it being Tuesday. The phone number, you should keep this in mind, whether you want to call or text, it works for both. 312-644-6767 is the number. We are out there on Twitch, too. Shout out to everyone on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. That's how you can get inside the chat and talk about things. It felt so good when Pollock hits that home run and you're like, oh, this is good. This feels great. Pollock's giving you the extended lead. Everything's cool. Your closer had gotten up once. Don't need to get him up again. Take his cleats off because the White Sox are going to win this one running away. It was so interesting to hear the unease in the voices of Jason Benetti and Steve Stone after the home run started off the 9th when it became 8-3. And then those guys started counting backwards, and they were like, oh, okay, so the tying run has a possibility of coming up. And then the White Sox ended up kind of booting the ball around and not pitching well, and they end up in an extra inning loss. And Josh Naylor was incredible. Ray, do you want to play our Sox Minute now, or should we bring people back with it? You tell me.
Let's bring people back with it. Let's do it that way.
All right. Here's the phone number, 312-644-6767. If you would like to join us and talk about what happened last night or the White Sox overall, when we come back, we will take your phone calls and you'll see what Ray has put together production-wise about the White Sox and their loss last night. Next, here on The Score.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station. It's time for the White Sox Minute.
Tim crushes this ball. He throws the bat. The ball goes flying. It is gone.
We're going to be Southside regardless.
South Slider.
Hi, Mom.
Go Sox, baby.
The White Sox Minute on the Lawrence Holmes Show.
After a successful road trip, the Sox are thrilled to be back home, winners of six in a row, and a spectacular time to begin a seven-day homestand against Cleveland and against the New York Yankees. To right field, Gavin Sheets can't make the play. Cleveland has taken a 1-0 lead. Miller ends up at second.
Well, sometimes on a line drive, the lights might have taken over. But Gavin puts the glove up and then just misses it.
Rosario at first. To third, Moncada has it eat him up. Tim comes over to throw it wide. So that ended up all over the place. It was a good reaction by Tim Anderson, but he ended up whistling it wide of Abreu. So runners at the corners here in the fifth.
It's a base hit, and Tim's going to pick up an error on that throw. This one hit the lip of the grass and came up and bit him. With a catcher running, if Tim just takes his time, he's got him. But when he sidewheels the throw, they don't wind up on the mark all that often.
0-1 pitch, sky to left center field. Robert and Pollock, and this ball is going to get to a fan. 8-3.
And he came on and picked one up.
Left field base hit on two strikes on a slider. And Rosario's on. And now the ball gets away. So Rosario's on his way to second base. And now he's thinking three. Throw coming into third is late. And now the Sox are in a little bit more of a tense situation. Still 8-3, but the defense has unraveled a little bit.
Rosario with three hits tonight. He's 3-for-4. And then the adventures start. Hits off the glove. Jose bangs into Rosario. And he just keeps on going.
And this, a ground ball to third. The Sox wanted to trade the out for a run, but they're not going to get the out. It's an error on Moncada, and it's 8-4. Center field, Robert back. This ball is gone, and Cleveland has tied the game in the ninth inning on a Naylor grand slam. Line fair down the left field side. It's an RBI double for Jimenez, and Cleveland has taken a 9-8 lead. On the ground, slowly hit, first base side, throw comes to the plate, and that was a bad idea. The Sox will take it. Engel scores. It's 9-all. Naylor to right field, and gone. That's 8 driven in his last 3 at-bats. Called strike 3. Cleveland has pulled off a shocking comeback. Josh Naylor surges Cleveland to a victory and just wipes away 6 in a row for the White Sox.
The highlights are courtesy of NBC Sports Chicago. The final was 12-9 with the Guardians scoring 1 in the 8th, 6 in the 9th, and 1 in the 10th to win it all. 312-644-6767 is the number. We are going to take your phone calls today. We're going old school today. We're just going to let people react to what it is that they saw. Let's start with James, who's out in Flossmoor. Hey, James, you're on the score.
Hey, Lawrence, big fan. Thanks for having me on the show. I'm totally in line with you, completely disgusted with the way the White Sox are playing. Granted, they just won 6 in a row. Bad defense, terrible, low-quality at-bats. You mentioned earlier Tony La Russa, obviously 80 years old, no life, no energy. It seems like he has no idea what's going on in the post-game shows, things like that, in those press conferences. I had a question for you. What about the leadership in the clubhouse from players? Like, what is Tim Anderson or Jose Abreu saying to these guys after a loss like last night?
I think it's an excellent question. especially since, you know, Tim is one of the leaders. He's also one of the leaders. He is the leader in errors in Major League Baseball. Tim's got more errors than teams do with 9. I wonder the same thing about what we're hearing from what those guys are saying to each other and how they really do need to just kind of tighten up. And we haven't seen it. I don't think that the White Sox defenders are as bad as they've looked. But there are times when you go, why are you making that play? Or why are you trying to make that effort? There's a confidence that borders on arrogance in some of it. Like, I'm so good of a player, I can make that throw. Or my arm is so strong. Like, call it the like Cutler effect. Or Cuddy would think that he could get balls through windows because he had one of the best arms in the league, and then those windows would close. White Sox defenders do some of that stuff too. Oh, we're good enough, we're slick enough that we're gonna get that guy. He's gonna not pay attention around third, and I'm gonna throw back there and we're gonna get him. I just don't understand why they're not better at picking up the baseball. And clearly there's a connection between not being good defensively and losing. And they saw it firsthand last season. 312-644-6767. Out to Alec. Hey, Alec, you're on the score.
Hey, Lawrence. My comment is kind of in the same vein there, where I'm wondering, where is the coaching here? Shouldn't your coaching staff be helping these defenders shore up the plays they're making in the field? I feel like by now we should have seen some improvement there. Even with the short spring training, is that really not something you can improve on during the season?
It's a great question. And honestly, it's one that I haven't found a sufficient answer to. I do think that there is an element of, well, the White Sox, what they would tell you is, it wasn't like it was a full camp and we were hoping that we'd have a full camp and then Tony could implement some of this stuff. To be fair to them, I would say, okay, that makes sense. But why are you worse? Clearly, other teams also had shortened camps. Why are you worse? And why, with hiring the manager that you hired, why isn't some of this stuff just better automatically? Now, I've been to the ballpark. Guys are working on stuff. Like it's not Joe Maddon would have these show up to the ballpark at 6 o'clock for a 7:10 first pitch. The White Sox are actually doing some of this stuff. Like they're doing some of the work. Do you have the proper people teaching them how to get the work done? Are you able? This now becomes an issue of like player development. Just because you have a special group of talented players, and the White Sox do, doesn't mean that each of them has reached their peak of who they can be as players. What are you doing organizationally to make it so that those players can get to where their talent says that they can go? I think it's a good question, and I'm not sure if it even has an answer. I just know the answers that have been given to it, to me, seem a little light. Mike is on the south side. Hey, Mike, you're on the score.
Hey, Lawrence, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing really well. What's on your mind?
So something, it's kind of stray away from TLR a little bit, but to come back to him at the end, I kind of had a forthcoming when they hired TLR, that this was a classic Jerry move and all the excitement that, you know, the new team, the new look, Rick Hine getting the keys and doing what he wants with the team. And then they kind of hired TLR, and it's kind of like the same old Jerry Reinsdorf kind of move. And, you know, baseball is a game of chances. Last night the Sox gave the Indians or the Guardians too many chances. And when the White Sox had their chances, like with the bases loaded in the bottom of the ninth, the Guardians didn't let the Sox get the chance with an outstanding play at third.
Yep, Jose Ramirez was fantastic. The point that you speak on, the hiring of it, of La Russa, I think for us, for a majority of us, there are some people who are dead enders and just think that Tony La Russa's resume is managing the team in 2022 and not looking at the person who is now in that role. I think that it did stop the party. I think the hiring of Tony La Russa made White Sox baseball less fun. But that's for us. Like, that's admittedly something that we like, that we liked the way that this team was starting to look, and we enjoyed the fact that they were irreverent and swaggy and an avatar for what baseball could be moving forward. And then, in my estimation, they hired the baseball police, and you take some of the fun out of it. The guys in the clubhouse have said that's not the case. They feel like, at least what they've said publicly, is that they have a manager that they get along with, that they like. Some of them even have said, gone so far as to say they feel like they're learning stuff. I've only had a couple of days in that clubhouse. It was loose. And this is while they were kind of going through their struggle and the gloomy days and stuff. It was loose. Guys weren't standoffish. They were still talking with each other. They were having fun. The music was blaring. Like, all of that stuff that we would probably associate with the White Sox clubhouse before Tony gets hired. I don't know if there's an actual impact. If what we perceive as the White Sox being lesser because they hired Tony, I think that's more on us than it is on them. But I am willing to listen to the possibility of maybe it took something away from them too. What's more important right now is the hiring of this manager with this resume. We don't even need to globalize it. It's supposed to make you better. And there have been, so a texter said, who do you give credit to for some of the guys that have improved pitching wise? Let me tell you some of the things that I think that Tony has done well. In particular, his handling of Michael Kopech last year, I thought was fantastic. And that's some of the stuff that you want to bring him in to do. You have him explain to a young pitcher, we need you in this role. You're going to get to the other role. I think Kopech took to it, and I've been really happy with what I've seen from him. I think that Tony deserves credit for that, the way that he handled it. But there are other things that I don't think that he handled well. And I don't want to relitigate this, but it does speak to my point. While I'm giving him credit for one pitching decision, I'm not giving him credit for the other. And that's what happened at the back end of the bullpen last year. I like that Rick was aggressive and said, you know what? Let's go lock down the eighth and ninth inning. Let's go win a World Series. Let's make this trade and we'll get Craig Kimbrell. As I've said before, I can't imagine that with Tony being in charge of the White Sox, like him being the shadow GM of the White Sox, because he can go above the GM's head, he can go above the vice president of baseball operations head in Kenny Williams, and go straight to the owner if he's got a beef. I can't imagine Rick saying, Tony, we're going to give you Craig Kimbrell. You're just going to have to deal with it. I don't think he's wired that way. I'm sure that it was, this is what we're thinking. Can you make it work? And Tony being like, of course, I invented bullpenning. And then it didn't work. And infrastructurally, I wonder if the White Sox had the things that Craig Kimbrell needed to be successful. Or if they had a manager who understood how to manage a situation. Like, break it down to the definition of manage. Here's your situation. My parents went away on a week's vacation. No. The situation is you have a guy that's more comfortable in the ninth. You have another guy that the organization has spent a lot of money on to be their ninth inning guy, but is flexible and has made his living being a guy that can be stretched out and do eighth and ninth inning stuff. Tony didn't manage it well. And what made me mad is at the end of the season when it was brought up, he was like, oh, well, Kimbrel's a ninth inning guy. And that was the end of it. Well, if he's a ninth inning guy, you've got the lineup card. You could have said Kimbrel is now the ninth inning guy. These are the decisions that you were brought in to make. This is what managing in 2022 looks like, or in this case, in 2021. And he failed that. And there's multiple examples of things in the White Sox clubhouse slash dugout not being managed well. And they're not things that you should have when you have Tony La Russa's resume. More of your phone calls, 312-644-6767. There is a top five today. Top five fast food items. We got all sorts of stuff coming up, and we're glad you're hanging out. Old school, phone calls and everything here on The Score.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
Coming up in a little bit, my top five fast food breakfast items. Not places, items. And there will be a conversation about something that I think COVID played a big role in taking away from us in the fast food world that needs to be rectified. It needs to be fixed. That's coming up at 1. We are taking your phone calls. Talk about what happened to the White Sox. Last night, they lose 12-9. There are people complaining, Ray, that there's not enough Cubs on the show today. Here's your Cubs stuff. Kyle Hendricks was great. Ian Happ had RBIs from both sides. Jason Hayward made an incredible catch out there in center field. Seiya Suzuki might be hurt. Does that make you feel better? Because yesterday when we did like a big old Cubs segment, you know what? It's fine. I'll just keep doing what we're doing. It seems to be working. Southside. Oh, no. Where do I need to go next, Ray? This is like Frasier and Roz right now.
Oh, we're going to go to Ron on the south side.
All right. Ron on the south side. All right. That's actually where I was thinking about going. Hey, Ron, you're on The Score.
Hey, Lawrence, I just wanted to say you mentioned going old school, and there's a caller from day one. I just want to say I appreciate that. And I also have to tell you, my favorite segment on The Score is your top five. And what I really like, Lawrence, he said, well, if you don't like, man, come up with yours. So, and I try to come up with some stuff, but really just enjoy. I enjoy your program.
Thank you.
I want to make a quick comment about the White Sox. And you made reference to it. You said that when White Sox beat the Cubs in Boston, maybe we became a little more optimistic. But, Lon, just think, this is the same team from last year at the All-Star break. This is an average. I don't know too many teams that are last in defense that are good. Because if you have a good pitching staff, that defense is going to kill you. And they've gotten a little better with baseman, but fundamentally, this is not a good baseball team. You have, one good defense? When people say, well, the defense, but you have one good defensive player in center field.
Well, I think Engel's a good defensive player, too. And I think Abreu has gotten better, although it looks like there's some regression with him being able to pick it a little bit, like Wilson. And if you look at the White Sox since the All-Star game last year, you're talking about a 500 team. And now that sample size is now looking like a half a season. You know, the All-Star break is not right in the middle of the season. That sample size is large. Large enough where you go, what's happening here? And no one over there seems to have any answers. Let's go to Buena Park and let's talk with Chuck. Hey, Chuck, you're on The Score.
Hey, Lawrence. I heard from one of my favorite callers, Ron from the South Side. I'd like to meet him. I'm an old geezer myself at 73. And I remember in 78, 79, I listened to him. I'm a retired attorney at 66, when most people should retire, including managers. And he was great. He spoke well. He was enthusiastic, and I thought, hey, he's going to be another Chuck Tanner, who, along with Roland Heeman and Dick Allen and Harry Caray rescued the White Sox from being moved to Milwaukee. But as an attorney and an old man, you lose it gradually.
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
Coming up in a little bit, my top 5 fast food breakfast items. Not places, items. And there will be a conversation about something that I think COVID played a big role in taking away from us in the fast food world that needs to be rectified. It needs to be fixed. That's coming up at 1. We are taking your phone calls. Talk about what happened to the White Sox last night. They lose 12-9. There are people complaining, Ray, that there's not enough Cubs on the show today. Here's your Cubs stuff. Kyle Hendricks was great. Ian Happ had RBIs from both sides. Jason Hayward made an incredible catch out there in center field. Seiya Suzuki might be hurt. Does that make you feel better? Because yesterday when we did like a big old Cubs segment, you know what? It's fine. I'll just keep doing what we're doing. It seems to be working. Southside. Oh, no. Where do I need to go next, Ray? This is like Frasier and Roz right now.
Oh, we're going to go to Ron on the south side.
All right. Ron on the south side. All right. That's actually where I was thinking about going. Hey, Ron, you're on the score.
Hey, Lawrence, I just wanted to say you mentioned going old school, and as a caller from day one, I just want to say I appreciate that. And I also have to tell you, my favorite segment on the score is your top 5. And what I really like, Lawrence, and you said, well, if you don't like, man, come up with yours. So, and I try to come up with some stuff, but really just enjoy. I enjoy your program.
Thank
so
you.
I want to make a quick comment about the White Sox. And you made reference to it. You said that when White Sox beat the Cubs in Boston, maybe we became a little more optimistic. But, Lon, just think, this is the same team from last year at the All-Star break. This is an average. I don't know too many teams that are last in defense did it good. Because if you have a good pitching staff, that defense is going to kill you. And they've gotten a little better with baseline, but fundamentally, this is not a good baseball team. You have, one good defense? When people say, well, the defense, but you have one good defensive player in center field.
Well, I think Engel's a good defensive player, too. And I think Abreu has gotten better. Although it looks like there's some regression with him being able to pick it a little bit, like Wilson. And if you look at the White Sox since the All-Star game last year, you're talking about a 500 team. And now that sample size is now looking like a half a season. You know, the All-Star break is not right in the middle of the season. That sample size is large. Large enough where you go, what's happening here? And no one over there seems to have any answers. Let's go to Buena Park. And let's talk with Chuck. Hey, Chuck, you're on the score.
Hey Lawrence. I heard from one of my favorite callers, Ron from the South Side. I'd like to meet him. I'm an old geezer myself at 73. And I remember in 79, I listened to him. I'm a retired attorney at 66, when most people should retire, including managers. And he was great. He spoke well. He was enthusiastic, and I thought, hey, he's going to be another Chuck Tanner, who, along with Roland Heeman and Dick Allen and Harry Caray, rescued the White Sox from being moved to Milwaukee. But as an attorney and an old man, you lose it gradually. It doesn't happen quick, but you lose it. And by the time you're in your mid-60s, where you have to mentate quickly, where you have to deal with things quickly and dealing with younger opponents and dealing with younger people. You can't do it anymore. And that little response he made after the game, after he ruined my sleep, by the way, because I generally go to bed at 10 o'clock, and that's about my limit. And also ruined something else that normally happens about 9:30 in the morning, which involves the bathroom, and I'll spare you.
Oh, I thought you were going to go in a different direction. What I thought was happening was, you know, getting down with the get down. And I see you player. You're like, oh, you know, I got to go to bed at 10, but 9:30, though, 9:30 in the morning, I'm be wrecked to go. I see you, player. I see what you tried to do, trying to cover it up. No. I know what it is. I know what time it is. 9:30. You hear Bernstein's, like, first segment, you're like, hey, time to go. Let's get it. While getting is good. I don't want to be an ageist and say that his age is the thing that's making him not a good manager. I think that if you had him in the game as a manager in that 11-year period where he's not doing anything, where he's figureheading the Diamondbacks and stuff, I think he's probably still with it. But there's a ramp up that has had to happen, and I don't know if he's been as good as he thinks that he's been. We'll keep talking about the White Sox. We'll take your phone calls, 312-644-6767, and we'll let you hear from Tony La Russa, plus my top five fast food breakfast items next here on The Score.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.